Hello, I'm Tony Collins and this is the Rugby Reloaded podcast. With Manchester City and Manchester United sitting high on top of the English Premier League, there's a strong case to be made that Manchester today is the world capital of football. But little more than 100 years ago, it was common for people to think of Manchester not as a hotbed of soccer, but as a stronghold of rugby. In fact, for most of the 19th century, Manchester was one of the most important cities in rugby and one of the centres of the rise of the movement which gave birth to rugby league. In fact, Manchester has a strong claim to be the first major rugby city outside of London. As in so many places in the north of England, the first type of football that was played in Manchester was rugby, not association football. In 1860, Manchester Football Club was founded to play rugby, and in 1866, Swinton Football Club was formed too. This was a full generation before today's giants of soccer emerged. The Foreigners of Manchester United, Newton Heath, was formed in 1878, and Ardwick, City's ancestor, 2 years later. The year that Ardwick were formed, no less an authority than the Times newspaper told its readers that rugby players are probably twice as numerous as those of the Football Association. In the north, the Leeds, Wakefield and Manchester clubs are prominent among a people who are one and all enthusiasts for the rugby game. Rugby in Lancashire was controlled by the patrician Manchester FC, supported by the equally elite Liverpool club. When the Forerunner of the Lancashire Rugby Union was set up in 1881, Manchester was automatically entitled to the positions of president, vice president, secretary and treasurer, and all home county fixtures were to be played at Manchester's Whalley Range ground. By the mid-1880s, the growth of soccer in Lancashire, however, had become a cause for concern. The Lancashire FA Cup competition started in 1879, and it was followed by a plethora of local soccer competitions. Just as importantly, the success of Blackburn Olympic and Blackburn Rovers in winning the FA Cup in the early 1880s highlighted the nationwide interest that soccer could bring. Neighbouring towns soon wanted to emulate the success of Blackburn. Indeed, Preston had been a rugby town since the 1870s, but following the example of Preston North End's conversion to soccer from rugby in 1881, virtually all of its football clubs had switched to the association code by 1882. Burnley had also begun as a rugby club before changing codes in 1882, and Chorley FC made the same switch in 1883. Many of the key personalities in Lancashire soccer had also begun their sporting careers in rugby, including the Scotsman Fergus Souter, possibly one of the first two soccer players ever to be paid for playing. Other prominent ex-rugby players included Preston's William Sudell, a key mover in bringing professionalism to soccer, T.Y. Ritson, the founder of Bolton and Districts Football Association, and the future Football League presidents Charles Sutcliffe and John McKenna, and Football League secretary Tom Charnley. So it was no surprise that at the Lancashire Rugby Union's 1886 annual general meeting, a number of speakers expressed alarm about the progress of soccer and the impact that that was having on rugby. Werneth Football Club, based near Oldham, proposed that a Lancashire Cup be started, modelled on the Yorkshire Cup, in order to rekindle interest in rugby. The Werneth delegate to the meeting said that the association game was progressing rapidly and that the only way to help the rugby game in Lancashire was by a cup competition. But the county authorities turned their faces against this move to popularise rugby, and behind this stubbornness lay the hope that soccer's advances could help reassert the social exclusivity of rugby, as one supporter of the RFU explained. In some districts, the rugby game is losing ground among the working class and association is spreading in its place, owing to the pecuniary advantages to be reaped from the latter game. The loss of followers to the grand old game of rugby is regrettable. Yet looking at the present state of all professional sports, we cannot but think that this possible loss is far preferable to legalising professionalism. Lancashire rugby was being overtaken rapidly by its round ball rival. In 1892, A.A. Sutherland, the football correspondent of the weekly Clarion newspaper that was published in Manchester, put the blame for soccer's rise firmly on the rugby union authorities. Less than 10 years ago, not a single association club could be found in either Manchester or its district. Now, both Newton Heath and Ardwick are high up and making big names for themselves at the dribbling code and have innumerable imitators in their districts. To go further afield, Preston, Southport, Bolton, Bury, Chorley, Little Leverbootle, Walton and other clubs, which stood high up in rugby circles, have all been absorbed by the associationists. Those who profess to look after the best interests of rugby are content to sit still, whilst the tide of association football makes great inroads into the strongholds of the rugby game. It is apparent to the ordinary observer that unless some reform is instituted, rugby football in Lancashire is in danger of being swamped. In fact, in those Lancashire towns where rugby had local cup competitions, it could keep ahead of soccer. The West Lancashire and Border Towns Rugby Cup was started in 1886, and it consistently attracted five-figure crowds for its matches featuring Wigan, St Helens, Warrington, Widnes and eight other clubs. At a town level, 18,000 people watched the final of the Wigan Challenge Cup in 1886. 16 sides contested the first Rochdale Charity Cup in 1887, and 13 sides were in the Warrington Junior Cup when it started in 1888, the same year that 10,000 people watched that year's final of the Rochdale Cup. But of course, the rugby union authorities undermined even these efforts. So the South East Lancashire Cup, which began in 1884 with clubs based around Manchester, was shut down in 1889 after the Lancashire Rugby Union investigated it for professionalism. Some rugby areas decided that things had got so bad that they were prepared to defy rugby's leadership and start their own leagues, which were viewed by the RFU and its supporters as almost as bad as professionalism itself. The Manchester and District, North West, South East Lancashire and West Lancashire leagues were all in existence by 1892. In June of that year, Swinton called a meeting in Manchester to discuss the formation of a Lancashire county-wide league of the leading teams. They were supported by Salford, Broughton, Oldham, Warrington and Wigan. Faced with this threat, and in order to keep control of a volatile situation, in September 1892, the Lancashire Rugby Union accepted their demands and voted to approve the Lancashire Club Championship League. But the new league had come too late to counteract the appeal of the FA Cup and the Football League in Lancashire, whose clubs had won the FA Cup 8 times in the previous decade and 3 of the first Football League titles. Soccer had become so powerful in Manchester that in 1893 the Manchester FA demanded of the Football Association that it should have its own seat on the FA Council because of its success in popularising soccer in what it called the stronghold of rugbyism. In that same year of 1893, over 45,000 people watched that year's FA Cup final at the Fallowfield Stadium in Manchester, setting a new record attendance for the final, and it was this huge crowd which both shocked rugby supporters and delighted soccer followers. By this time, soccer leagues had also been established in most traditional rugby towns, and professional soccer sides would soon be formed in Oldham, Rochdale and Wigan. The soccer juggernauts affected even the most pristine amateurs of gentlemanly rugby union. Manchester Football Club itself voted to wind up in March 1895 after it was revealed that they had made massive losses on the previous season, although this decision to wind up was later reversed. The formation of the Northern Union in 1895 breathed new life back into rugby in Manchester and its districts. However, only Broughton Rangers from the area broke away from rugby union and joined the Northern Union in 1895. Salford and Swinton both stayed loyal to the RFU, thanks to a combination of personal antagonism and organisational jealousies. However, they soon realised their mistake, as attendances fell through the floor as they lost their fixtures with the big Lancashire clubs, and rugby union clubs in the south of England refused to travel north to play against them. So, in April 1896, Salford held a special general meeting to discuss joining the Northern Union. Committeeman Mr Daniels proposed joining the new organisation, pointing out that the club had lost over £700 in the last 4 years, saying, "As Salford, we are a working class club and don't contain any so-called gentlemen. So it'd be very nice for the place to have a present of 6 shillings worth of silver every week. If the club continued on amateur lines, they would go smash. They all knew that working class clubs were better supported than clubs such as Manchester or Liverpool." Of the 400 people at the meeting, only 3 opposed joining the Northern Union. Swinton made exactly the same move at their annual general meeting in 1896 and received similar overwhelming support. It was also reported at the meeting that their income had slumped by over 60% and season ticket holders halved in the past 4 years. They were vindicated in their decision to join the new organisation. In their first 2 seasons in the Northern Union, they made record profits of £450 and £529. So, for a short period, the Manchester region recaptured some of its former rugby glory. Broughton Rangers were the outstanding Lancashire club of those early years of the game. In 1902, they became the first club to do the double, cantering away with the Championship and defeating Salford 15-6 to win the Challenge Cup. Salford also finished second and Swinton fourth in the league table that year. But rugby could never close the gap that soccer had established in the late 1880s and early 1890s. After World War I, Broughton Rangers struggled from crisis to crisis and eventually went out of the league in 1955. In a telling piece of irony, their former home ground at the Cliff was bought by Manchester United and used as a training ground until 1999, and today it is home to Manchester United Women's FC. Yet again, the short-sightedness of the leaders of rugby in the 1880s and 1890s damaged the long-term opportunities for the game. Today's sporting world is, in large part, a result of the decisions they took in the last two decades of the 19th century, and rugby in Manchester and Salford is still living with the consequences. I hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode of the Rugby Reloaded podcast. As I'm sure you know, my Twitter handle is @ColinsTony and my website is www.rugbyreloaded.com, where you can find a complete archive of episodes about the history of rugby and the other football codes, along with links for further reading about this episode. Until next week, thanks for listening.